This is Dr. Herbert Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing. Today we're going to understand a little more about controlling your world. Before we can control a world, we must realize we live in a world. The world that we speak of is a world of experience. It's a world that concerns us. Just what is the ideal of a world? How can we control a world? What does it mean to be in a world and be controlled and to have control of it? What do these things really mean? Well, now, one of the best ways to understand such a thing is to look it up in the dictionary. I find that looking things up in the dictionary is a very helpful and wonderful way to know what you're thinking about, because it gives you a definition that the average person is using, a definition that the average person is using as their criteria for thinking about things. Well, here we have Webster's Seventh New Collegiate Dictionary, the small one, not even the unabridged. And we read that world, human existence, this world. Well, it's both prehistoric, it's a compound whose first constituent is represented by the second constituent as considered to the old. The earthly state of human existence. Life after death, used with the qualifier of human existence. The earth, with its inhabitants and all things upon it. The individual's course of life, their career. The inhabitants of the earth, the race, the human race. The concerns of the earth and its affairs as distinguished from the heavens and the life to come. Secular affairs. The system of created things, the universe, a division, section, or generation of the inhabitants of the earth, a distinctive class of persons, or their sphere of interest, such as an academic group, human society, a part or section of the earth that is separately independent as a unit, the sphere of or scene of one's life and action, an indefinite multitude, or a great quantity, or amount that makes a world of difference. The animal world, the kingdoms, for instance, a celestial body as the planet, one that is inhabited. Also a synonym, see Earth. Well, now we're going to be speaking in several aspects of the definition of the word. We're going to be speaking of our world, the individual course of life, our career, the inhabitants of the earth, the human race, the concerns of the world. We're going to be speaking of it in all of these various ramifications. Because to us, the world is not just a simple thing. It is a very complex and a very unified field. And we will be speaking of it in this unified field. Sort of simplifies the word of the unified field theory that scientists have been talking about lately. Before we can control a world, we must realize we live in a world. And that world is really our own creation. To control our world, we must know the rules by which it is governed. And there is only one rule. It is the law, the universal law, the ever-enclosing, enfolding, the ever-decisive law, the law of cause and effect. Yes, we do live in a world of cause and effect. But it's our world. It's the world in which you and I live, and in which the people that we have created live. Now, many times we sort of look askant at the idea that we created the people in this world. We do not necessarily at first approve of the idea that every experience that we have in our life, we created. Every circumstance that has come into our world, we have created. We have brought it forth in its various aspects of beingness. So let's look at Rule 1. And we have three rules to consider, if one wants to call them rules. Three rules. Rule 1. All is good. Now this boggles the mind of most individuals. All is good. Wars, famine, disease, all good? You bet they're good. They're magnificent. We've discussed the idea that each of us is God and the creator of our world. Can you imagine God creating anything that is not good? The universal presence in our biblical story created all things and called them good, very good. And so it is with you and I, as divine creators. We too must call all things good and very good. A perfect creation of the majority of the minds. It's a world in which we choose to live, a world in which we choose to bring forth the experiences that we're having. Love, too. Joy, happiness, peace, abundance, harmony. These are a perfect creation by some. And they can be a perfect creation by all. Rule 1, all is good. Rule 2, we create by our thought every experience we see in our world. We create by our thought every experience we see in our world. How very powerful this is. For every thought that we have, every idea that comes into our consciousness, turns into a reality very shortly. You know, just on this very same thought, yesterday as I was going through some old materials and cleaning up files, reorganizing them and getting them sort of set into place in my office here, I ran across a notebook that I had written into maybe about 2 years ago. And in that notebook I had said, these are the things, the equipment, that the University of Healing would be needing very shortly. In fact, right away it needed. And I listed about 10 items. And I listed them just generally, like an addressing machine, like an IBM electronic selectric composer, all sorts of little things. And you know, I put that list away. In fact, I hadn't even given it much more thought. It was in a little black notebook, and I'd close it up, and it got shuffled away in all the other materials. But today, 2 years later, because I had spoken those things into motion, they have all manifested. I did not get out there and plow them into being, demanding, desiring, but at the right moment in my consciousness, when my acceptance was at full power, each came forth. We create by our thought every experience we see in our world. People sometimes wonder why they have certain experiences in their life. They wonder, why me, oh God, why me? Well, number one, they're God. And number two, the why is because in their consciousness they have spoken their word and brought it forth, just as you and I do every day of our life, every moment of our beingness. Now, rule 3, we can create new anytime we choose, whatever we choose. We can create new anytime we choose, whatever we choose. Now, in our consciousness is an idea that has been there for many, many years, and this idea is that we are co-creators with God, and that we recreate. If we don't like something, we recreate it and bring it about anew. Well, both of these statements are incorrect. Number one, we are not co-creators with God. We never could be co-creators with God. We never will be co-creators with God because of one simple, magnificent fact. And that is, we are God. How can we co-create with ourselves? We can co-create with the law, which is a universal rule or guiding principle, which is part of us, yet it is universally all. But to co-create with God means that God is separate from us. And to call it separate from us is to call ourselves less than God or other than God. And this is not true, for we are God. So each time we create, we are creating new. Because we have come to a new point in consciousness, and at this new point in consciousness, we have a new beingness. Because what we would have created before would not have been anything like what we are creating now. For our consciousness has reached a new level of awareness and understanding, and we have come to the realization that all is good. We create by our thought, and we create new. So as we know that all is good, even those things that the world might consider less than perfect, or even those things that we, the Creator, might consider less than perfect, it is truly all good. One of my students, when she was a little girl, in fact she wasn't such a little girl anymore, she was in her 30s, I believe, and her mother was speaking to a group of people, and her mother was a very religious woman, and her mother said to the other ladies in the group, she said, "You know, my daughter is a perfect heathen," because her daughter was not exactly following the philosophy that her mother was in understanding in her own life. And one of the other ladies spoke up and said what might be considered a universal truth. "Well, you know, at least she's perfect." Yes, everything we do is perfect. Everything we do is the perfect expression of what it is that is in our consciousness. And so therefore, because it is the perfect expression, it manifests exactly what we have in mind about it. Each of these rules is the action of the law of cause and effect, and it is governed by love. We so deeply love the things that we're doing and working with. We so deeply love the experiences that we're having. We so deeply love all of the beautiful things that are taking place in our life that they take place. We love to go to the movies. We love to go to the beach. Some people say, "Well, I certainly don't love doing housework." Well, yes, you do, or else you wouldn't do it. You love the results of doing housework. You love a clean house. I don't love spanking my children. No, but in your idea, you love the idea that they understand what you mean and they will follow what you believe is to be something very strongly placed in their consciousness. For to spank a child is... Well, they say it hurts the parent more than it does the child, and this is really very true. Because emotionally, the parent gets all bent out of shape. The pain of striking the child is greater than the actual strike that the child gets. For many times, the youngster can quickly forget it. But really, these things are all just effects. It's love that's being done. Why are wars fought? Wars are fought because one nation feels another nation is taking advantage of it, and another nation comes in to help one or the other of the nations because they feel that their cause is right. And pretty soon all the nations are involved because they're on one side or another feeling that one or the other's rights are being taken away from them or in any way being restricted. So you see, it was all for a good purpose. We look at the United States of America and we feel, oh my, how could it ever get into an improper war, something where it was against its own nature or against its own purpose or direction in life. And yet, in the Vietnam conflict and other conflicts that have taken place, notice how the ire of the young people has risen to the point of saying, this is not something that's to our benefit. This is not something to their benefit. We should keep our nose out of their activity and their conflict. It's not our right to stick our nose into another man's fight. And you know, speaking of fighting, when there are two people fighting, two men or two boys or whatever, and a third person comes along and sticks his nose in, he usually gets a black eye. But why does he get a black eye? Because he wanted it. Why did we get involved in, so to speak, somebody else's war? Because we wanted it. Why did our young people get uptight about being involved in this war which they didn't really want to go and fight? Because this is exactly what they were creating in their world. They were creating for themselves a freedom from being involved in somebody else's conflict. And really, this is the outset of a very wonderful movement in our country where people became ecologically minded. People became aware of their body functions and the food that they were putting into their bodies and all of the poisons or all of the things that were distressing to their body. All things happen for good. For them that love the Lord thy God. And where is the Lord thy God but within? So for all that love the presence of the universal beingness within themselves, all things work for good. Even those things that we cannot readily see at the moment are working for good. Each of these rules is the action of the law of cause and effect, governed by love. Because we love these things, we really care about these things, we really want these things to take place. And when we do, they do. You know, I often hear the remark of some super religious people who say that they don't want money, who say that money is the root of all ego, all evil, all that filthy lucre, all that terrible stuff. And yet what is it that they use to pay their bills? What is it that they use to put food on their table? What is it that they use to send their children through college? What is it that they use to place themselves in an equitable condition in the world in which they live? None other than money. But these people who feel it is so filthy, who feel it is so evil, struggle more diligently and more difficultly to accomplish their good than many people in the world. There are a lot of people in this world who have different areas of their thinking which they feel is bad. And in the areas of their thinking which they feel is bad, in that area of their world, they are limited. They're controlling their world, all right. Just like you and I control our world. And any area where we are experiencing, quote, limitation, lack, or unhappiness, unquote, we might stop and think, what cause are we putting into motion that is bringing about that experience in our life? It's really quite simple. We've done it to ourselves. Nobody else has done it to us. And we're doing it to ourselves constantly, oftentimes totally unaware that we're doing it. But we must become aware. We must realize that we are truly controlling our world and that nothing ever happens in our world by chance. All things happen in our world because we have brought them into experience by our desire. We want, we desire, we love what we see, or we would create new to express our desire. So often we speak of the idea that men and women, that all beings love conflict. They love to read the daily newspaper and the magazine, news magazines, and listen to television and the radio and hear all of the turmoil that's going on in the world. I've been in the newspaper publishing business for almost 30 years. And at one point I published a paper that I called my love sheet. Though I talked about the problems that went on the inside pages, my front pages were filled with the beautiful things that had been taking place in the community and the beautiful people in that community. Well, it wasn't long before that whole community was love conscious, because the paper that I published was their primary source of information about what was going on in their community. They had to, by force, know of loving conditions. They were in my world. I was creating them. I was creating the world in which I lived, and I gave them that which I felt my world should have, pure love. And lo and behold, that's exactly what it had, pure love. We do create our world. There's just one instance where I created my world in a very definite, beautiful way. And the response was quite definite and quite beautiful. It was interesting how these people in my world wanted me to run for city council. They wanted me to run for mayor. They wanted me to run for this and be head of this committee and that committee, because they knew that my attitude was loving. Fortunately, I did not fall prey to this superabundant praise, or else I might have been totally running my world and writing about my world. But in our world, we create other people. We can climb a mountain and run away from them all. We can go out to the desert and disappear from mankind. We can find a cave or an island in the ocean, or even beyond the ocean in a boat and be away from the world. But yet we are not. For in the ocean, the fish are all about us, the waves, the weather, the environment. In the desert, we have the sand and the wind. We always have the need for something to eat, apparently, for water to drink. And in most men's lives is the need for companionship. We do have a world about us, and that world is exactly what we have created. And if that world isn't exactly what we choose at this new point in our stage of consciousness, at this new point in our awareness of who we are, then we can create anew. We can create a beautiful new set of circumstances. And these circumstances can be so rewarding, so magnificent, that in our life, to that moment, nothing can compare to them. We want, desire, love what we see, or we would create new to express our desire. Well, today let's begin to consider how we create new. Our world is where our thought is. Every thought we think in our mind is outpictured in our world. If we think of our world as beautiful, as lovely, as joyful, if we think of our world as fulfilling and abundant and healthy, If we think of our world as every single thing that is absolutely magnificent, though at the instant we think of it, it may not be that way. As we keep our thought pure and our thought one-directed, our world outpictures our thought about it. We cannot escape that beautiful fact. Our world outpictures our thought about it. As our thought is on beneficial things for us and those in our world, that manifests. Many times we look at people in our world and we say, I've no right to control their life. I've no right to run their world. That's true. We have no right to run the world of another. But we do have a very inalienable right to run our own world. So many times parents allow their children to use drugs or go into experiences which the parent feels is not to the child's highest good. And many times the parent will say, well, I've got to let them do their thing. I've got to let them do their thing. Now this is a cop-out, really. We do not need to let anyone do their thing in our world, because that child came into the life of that parent to be under the worldly direction that that parent had chosen to go. Now, that parent may have chosen to go this freedoms-filled route, giving the child all the freedom that they chose to experience, to do all of the things that they wanted to do. Now, being that the case, then it is a world that we created, and the child chose to be born into that world to experience exactly what he was getting. But as for myself, I choose to think that my world is beautiful, and I choose to think that every person who has come into my world has come into my world because of what I am, because of what I believe and where my consciousness is. And if they don't like my world, they won't be in my world. If they don't believe in my philosophy of life, they're not going to try to change me, unless I really want to be changed. They're going to leave my world, or they're going to meld with my world. Think about that for a while. Think about the idea that our world, the world in which you live in, the world in which I live in, is each uniquely different. You may get up in the morning with a smile on your face. I may get up in the morning joyously looking at the universe. Someone else may get up grouchy. Whatever the individual choice is, the world reflects back what the individual is. Our world is where our thought is. As our thought is on a world of conflict, accidents, unhappy experiences, those happen. Yes, they really do. Those things happen. For wherever our consciousness is, that is what we draw into our world. Now, that's not bad. A lot of people say, well, that's negative, that's evil. There is no negative thing. There is no evil thing. All is good and very good, because remember, you and I are God. And all that we create is good and very good. Everything that we bring into our experience is good and very good. So therefore, what might be non-beneficial, in appearance sake, is really good. The statement was often made, he meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Well, that's true. Another may mean something to bring us into their understanding of things, which to our way of thinking might be less than good. But our way of thinking, because we're God, is always consistent, always perfect. We are led astray, if one can say astray, we are led down a different path because we choose to go down that different path. Never in our life have we ever done anything unless it was our choice. It is our choice to live or die. It is our choice to be good or to be something that is non-beneficial to our physical temple and our physical world. It's always our choice. It is always our choice. When I was a youngster, I used to get very frightened at the idea of speaking before large groups. I would talk on the subject of forestry to the different schools in Milwaukee when I was with the Wisconsin Forestry Conservation Group. I didn't belong to them, I just loved them. And I went down and got their movies and took their movies around to different schools and showed them. And they oftentimes asked me to talk about these things, a young teenager. And I thought to myself, my goodness, you know, how can I speak to these people on something I really don't know too much about? And then I began speaking to them about things. And their interest was great. Because nature and the forest and the trees and the beautiful things that the Wisconsin Conservation Department wanted to bring about were so desirable. And as these people, these children, these men and women listened to what I had to say, I was creating them out of my love, and they listened joyfully. But my remark to myself in the very beginning, and it may have been negative in some people's point of view, but I would always say, all they can do is kill me. I'd get up and talk, and I'd have butterflies in my tummy, and I would feel like, golly, how can I speak before this wonderful group of people who probably know more about it than I do? And I'd make the statement to myself, well, the worst thing they can do is kill me, you know? Anything other than that really is not important at all. And then, because I loved what I did, I was able to share it joyfully. And you know, they never did kill me. Seems kind of funny, doesn't it? I didn't really place that into my consciousness. But in my worldliness at that time, in my childishness at that time, I thought the worst thing that could ever happen to me was for someone to kill me. And even that wasn't so bad, because then I'd just start over again. As our thought is on world conflict, accidents, unhappy experiences, those happen. As our thought is on beneficial things for us and those in our world, that manifests. This means we need to train ourselves, our moment-by-moment thinking, to be on that which we consider worthwhile of being expressed. We need to train ourselves, our moment-to-moment thinking, to be on that which we consider worthwhile of being manifest in our world. That means every thought we think needs to be under our control. If we choose to, and you know we really do choose to, we can live in a world that is filled with conflict. Because the world created by ourselves and others will give us exactly that. And it's not bad. It's very good. It's good conflict. It's the most powerful conflict in the world. It's the most all-encompassing conflict you can ever imagine. But if that isn't what you want or I want, then we place into motion what it is we do want. I was walking along the path the other day thinking of the idea, how would I give a talk on seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. And as I walked along for over an hour, I just let flow the ideal within me, expressing these thoughts. And I thought to myself, wow, isn't that beautiful? I wish I had a tape recorder along so I could have picked that up and shared it with others. But no, that was for me. That was just for me in my world, in my experience. For it illumined me. My own words illumined me. For it was the universal speaking in me. My own words uplifted me. My moment-by-moment thinking, as I walked along the beautiful path, were so glorious. That moment-by-moment thinking was so inspiring and so uplifting that though sharing it with another might be a beautiful thing, sharing it with my inner God self was even more fantastic. Each of us have done this sort of thing, and we do it quite often. But now we might choose to do it more regularly. We might choose to do it on a regular basis. To just let the God within us be us, and speak through us, and share beautiful ideas. Talk out loud to yourself as I do to myself. I walk along the path and I pretend that before me is the audience of all of my total beingness. My world, and my world is listening to me. And I am telling my world how beautiful it is, how wonderful it is, and how true everything is. And I feel like I'm floating on air. I feel like my consciousness has been raised to the level of the most magnificent expression that it ever could be. And you know, it is. It really is. And how great it is. We can begin very personally in the creation of our bodies, if we choose to, very personally. We can be a demonstrator of what we believe about our bodies, for we really have. If our bodies are not out picturing, at this moment, the ideal that we think we have in our consciousness, we might look into our consciousness again, in taking control of our world, and see just what it is we really have as an ideal for ourselves. Is our ideal for ourselves something less than the magnificence of a Greek god, you might say? Or is our ideal for ourselves that very beautiful personage that we are? We outpicture what we think about. So really, if we are not now outpicturing that beautiful, magnificent body that we want for ourselves, then we do not really have in our consciousness that beautiful, magnificent body that we want for ourselves. We do not really have in our mind. What we have in our mind is exactly what we are outpicturing. So we need to change the thought of our mind, change the moment-by-moment thought that's going on in our consciousness, and whatever the new thought is, that's what we will outpicture. You know, a person who is running track, or who is jogging, or who is doing exercises, they constantly keep before them the idea that they know that after so many days of physical effort, after so many days of wonderful work upon themselves, their body will begin to change, because the physical muscles take this long, they've been told, to change their course of action. But the same thing takes place in our consciousness. As we not rout out old thoughts, but as we plant the new thought in our consciousness about ourselves, it takes just so long for us to become fully cognizant of what it is we really want for ourselves. And then, as we do, these beautiful things begin to manifest themselves in our life. Yes, demonstrate in your body, right now, what you want. For it is your closest world. It is the world about which you live. It is the world about which you circulate. We can claim the truth about our world in ourselves and watch the change. As we do this, our body outpictures a new semblance of beauty and goodness. As we do this, our complexion becomes more ideally beautiful. As we do this, our eyes become more sparkly with a liveliness. As we do this, our whole being shines out in large letters: health, joy, happiness. Changes in our world will not take place on the outer, temporary, but on the inner. Now that seems to almost contradict what we've just said. But truly, the change in our world takes place on the inner. The outer is the demonstration of what's going on in the inner. So we do not necessarily begin to speak our word for a change in the outer. We speak our word of the ideal in our consciousness, the ideal of a perfect body, the ideal of perfect harmony, of abundance, of joy. We speak our word of these ideals in our consciousness. We sort of live in that awareness. Just imagine yourself as fantastically wealthy. Just imagine yourself as totally healthy. Just imagine yourself as the most vivacious, the most gregarious, the most charismatic person that has ever existed. In your imagination, on your innermost beingness, as you imagine this, you smile and you joy with that new beingness. Ah, yes, I would love that. Oh, I can feel it now. Yes, it takes place on the inner. And it remains on the inner, and the outer, the temporary shell that we have that expresses what we are, outpictures what we are in the inner. Changes in our world will not take place on the outer, the temporary, only on the inner. What we see and get is what we create and what we created. We are in charge of our world alone. Many people seek to control somebody else in their world. They say, well, I'm going to bring him in line, or I'm going to bring them in line, or I'm going to do these things to cause these circumstances to take place, and he's going to either shape up or ship out. Well, truly, in our consciousness, if we bring ourselves up into the greater awareness of just who and what we are, we will attract into our world all the experiences that reflect who and what we are, for we're controlling our world. And if someone is not in harmony with our world, they will leave it. If someone is not living up to the ideal that we have for ourselves in our world, they will leave it. If someone is not in accord with who and what we are, they will not be around to bother our world. Now that someone may be son, daughter, husband or wife, mother or father, sister or brother, aunt or uncle, co-worker, boss, whoever it may be. It doesn't make any difference, for we control our own world, and we control everyone in it. And just because these people may disappear from our world does not mean we have done them a bad thing. What we have done is to bring into our world people harmonious with our thinking, people harmonious with what we believe about ourselves. Sometimes we have allowed ourselves to believe what other people think. But our choice, our world, our total beingness, is to be what we are and to be in control of what we are. And as we take this control, our world is magnificent. I love you all very much. You are very much in my blessings and in my total peace. God be with you as you are God.